Hello, I'm Barry Daniel, and this is the podcast of the Middle Way Society. Our aim is to encourage a universal approach to living a more integrated, ethical life, avoiding dogma or any absolute appeal to authority. Just before we start the talk, I would like to quickly draw your attention to a two-day festival the Middle Way Society will be running in April 2020 in Birmingham in the UK. Our keynote speakers will be Ian McGilchrist and Stephen Batchelor, talking about brain lateralisation and the Middle Way and Buddhism and the Middle Way, respectively. There'll be other well-known speakers giving talks about a wide range of topics such as psychology, education, the arts, science, meditation, as well as various practical sessions, all interpreted through the lens of the Middle Way. If you're interested, please check out our website www.middlewaysociety.org for more details. My guest today is Mark Austin, who is an accredited teacher of five rhythms classes, which he runs regularly in the north of England. In the interview, we explore the origins of the practice, what it is, how a typical session pans out, and how it relates to the Middle Way. Hello, Mark. Welcome to the Middle Way Society podcast.
Hey, Barry. How are you doing?
Okay, well, could you perhaps begin, Mark, by telling us a bit about yourself and how you became interested in five rhythms?
Yeah, sure. So I've been involved in yoga and various things for quite a long time. My actual, let's say, pay the bills job is something quite different, very technical, computing architectures and this kind of stuff. So really, really very, very mindy, heady stuff. And as a tonic for that, I got into yoga and meditation practices and similar spheres. And I heard about five rhythms from there, from somebody who'd been to a class, told me about it. And I kind of looked up, found a local session and went from there.
Okay, so how did five rhythms actually start?
So the history of this practice, there was a woman called Gabrielle Roth, who died a few years ago, who was in Esalen in California in the 1970s, where there was a lot of kind of interesting psychological, spiritual, shamanic, other things happening around there. Gestalt therapy was being developed in Esalen at a similar time. And she, as a dancer, came up with this practice that connected some of those things. So movement connected to psychotherapy and connected to spirituality. So, yeah, and many years after, there's people all over the world, lots of teachers around like me. You know, I'm not part of the Five Rhythms organization itself, but I'm a teacher of Five Rhythms. So I'm accredited to teach Five Rhythms. They're all over the world giving classes, running workshops out in the community.
So could you perhaps then unpack it a bit, tell us in a bit more detail what it actually is?
Sure. So in its simplest terms, a very good friend and a mentor in the teaching community of Five Rhythms, a guy called Andrew Holmes, gave me a really good summary. I mean, basically, we play music and people dance. I mean, that was his very, very, very light summary. And sometimes it's good to get down to that very simple fact. But around that dance, there are patterns of movement that are designed to give people a real range of movement and a range of different movements in their bodies. There are other maps of five rhythms around emotions and around other things as well. But at its simplest form, and the form that most people participate, it's simply around movement of the body. So there are five rhythms. The first one is flow, which is continual circular movement, energy gathered inwards. Now, what my interpretation of what that might be and what yours might be or anybody else's might look very different. So it's a free dance. And basically, there are some sort of guidelines and invitations around that free dance and gateways into that free dance for you to express whatever that rhythm looks like for you within a group of dancers or on your own. So the next rhythm is staccato, which is percussive, direct, outward energy, focus, yes and no, binary. And then from there, you move into chaos, which is all about letting go physically. And sometimes letting go physically can mean like can bring along other forms of letting go as well that might come in there. Chaos can be anything, any kind of movement, chaotic. That tends to be the top of what we call a wave. So each of these five rhythms come in a wave with chaos, the peak in the middle. So it's kind of the most frantic it can be. And it can be, you know, when people are really letting go, the music can be really faster, more upbeat. And from there, once people have let go, you move into lyrical, which is the fourth rhythm. So lyrical is about lightness, playfulness, curiosity, sometimes can be fun. And after that, you know, usually we've let go of a little bit of that and moved into stillness. And stillness isn't just standing still, although it could be for some people. It's more like presence. So the other four rhythms, in a way, have been how we've got to the point where we're really present in our bodies, and the movement that comes into the body from a place of presence is part of stillness. And then sometimes a new wave can start again from there, back into flow and staccato and chaos, lyrical stillness again.
This year I've attended a few of your sessions, which have been fantastic for me. I've really enjoyed it. So once or twice you've actually spoken about the opposites of those five rhythms you mentioned.
Yeah, so there are, I mean, one of the nice things, if nice is the right word, about five rhythms is it also gives an opportunity to look at some of the shadows that we all carry. We call them the shadows of the rhythms. One of the things Gabrielle Roth said about five rhythms is, you didn't think this was really about dancing, do you? So because it's about taking it to the street and into our own lives and into our, you know, it's this kind of journey of self-discovery around ourselves and being more present in our bodies out of the head. So one of the things that can get in the way of us being present and really engaging with our lives and getting the things that we want in life and living the way we want to are these shadows. So each of the rhythms has a number of shadows. So for example, flow has a shadow of inertia. So if you think about that first rhythm, which is all about continuous movement and flowing, sometimes we can connect to the shadow being inertia. So if we feel what inertia feels like in our body, and then in some small way start to invoke some small continuous movement, then we get used to, I mean, the idea is that we get used to a way out of inertia. If we can do it physically, then maybe we can do it in other ways in our lives as well. You know, some of the other shadows, staccato has got rigidity, stockness. So using the direction of the rhythm of staccato and the intensity and shape and clarity of the rhythm of staccato, that's a medicine for coming out of stockness. So similar shadows for some of the other rhythms as well.
You mentioned there that this is sort of a laboratory of self-discovery for people.
Yeah. And actually it can work alongside other modalities or, you know, other things that we're working on in other fields in life. So perhaps someone might be going through psychotherapy separately, learning about the way of relating from a psychological perspective in that. And then suddenly they've got a way to experience how they relate to another in movement, in one-to-one movement. You know, how they approach relating to another person over a short period of a pretty relatively safe environment. I mean, it's just me and that dancer for the next 2-3 minutes, and you know, we can see how that feels. We can look at how we can observe in ourselves our micro movements, how we experience that relating to a new or familiar person. And also within the context of a group, how do I feel in a group? How do I move in a group? How do I be part of a group? And also knowing a bit more about ourselves. So really getting into how our own body feels, how our own body moves, what's difficult, what's not difficult. So it can be a real self-discovery. And over a period of time with a regular practice, there can be lots of layers of self-discovery that happen. Lots of things emerging from inside.
Yeah, one thing I found in, I think I've been about four times now, but and I can remember being quite nervous when I first started, because often, you know, I've got a party this weekend, and I know people
perhaps the majority of people won't get up on the dance floor until they've had a couple of drinks, you know, and but there's no alcohol there, and also that I don't know how to put in words, but I feel sort of less on show there than I would say that if I was at a party or something like that. Is that something that you actually try to cultivate? I mean, it's sometimes perhaps nice to actually be on show, but I somehow feel when I'm there, I feel like I can just do things that I wouldn't perhaps do at a party, because I can just, I feel like I can experiment and I don't feel intimidated. I presume that's something you try to cultivate, an atmosphere like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, I mean, the five rhythms practice, what you'll find is pretty much anything goes, really. I mean, my little introduction to people when they're completely new to the practice, I tend to just have like a couple of minutes with people before they start. And I'll say something like, you know, anything that we do today is an invitation. So if I say take a partner, then it's an invitation to take a partner. If that's not right for you, don't do it. Simple as that. You know, in that, if you want to be at the side, you can be at the side. If you want to get right involved, you can. The only thing that I would say, the sort of three rules, and anything else kind of goes, really. Don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt anybody else. And don't break anything in the room. Apart from that, you know, anything goes, really. And I think there is definitely an atmosphere of allowing people to move as they want. So that could be as little or as much as they want to. And in terms of the group have usually pretty much seen it all. You know, everybody's got different ways of moving. So what might feel really strange and bizarre for a new dancer who's not moved before, you know, moving and just dancing. To the group, it's not strange because they've seen all kinds. So yeah, there's definitely this kind of permissive environment where people can just bring whatever they're bringing.
Yeah. Okay. Another thing that I personally have really enjoyed is the range of the music, but it's not sort of music you would generally hear on the radio, although there's one or two that I've heard that are popular hits. So I'm curious how you go about finding it, because it's fascinating material that you know you conjure up.
Yeah, and I think that will depend on the teacher. I mean, we don't have a central repository of five rhythms music that we all use. So one particular teacher will have different tastes and will have their own particular way of discovering music. I think what helps a lot is, for me, is technology. I can imagine sort of 20 years ago rummaging around record stores looking for old vinyls or that might work and fit for a particular rhythm would have been really time consuming. I think with some of the modern things like Spotify and some great resources out there on the internet to find world music, there's just a lot available. I mean, I can spend a whole Sunday just mining and, you know, finding some little genre of music in Peru that I'd never heard of, and just see if that fits. So for me, all the music is stored electronically. It's all kind of on my laptop. And I mean, I've got my own particular way of organizing it, which is by sort of energetic level on the dance floor and by musical key and by beats per minute. Other teachers would have different ways. But it's, for me, that's one of the things I enjoy the most, is that sort of world of music. That's so many gifts of music out there that it's just a joy to delve around that.
Sure. And okay, well, maybe could you give us perhaps an overview of a typical session? Now, obviously, as you say, depends to a degree on the energy of the group. So there's obviously a dynamic and an interaction going on there to an extent. So be curious to hear how that plays out during a session.
Yeah, even though teachers do it different ways, there is a pretty standard way of doing a five rhythms class. So first of all, it can be a workshop as well. So there are the two possibilities. So I mean, the one that you're used to, Barry, is a class, which is generally a weekly class, and it's good if people attend weekly and get a bit of a community feeling with the other dancers there. Typically the class is between an hour and a half and 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. And I tend to start about 15 minutes before the official start time of the class, I'll start playing music, because some people just want to come in and ground and have a lie down and listen to some good music or move a little bit. And then the class begins. That usually I'll do two waves. So we'll go through what you'd call a warm-up wave. And the warm-up wave is really for tuning into the body. So waking up the body, tuning into where we're at. We do something called body parts, where we let different parts of the body, you know, feel, bring energy, bring attention to, say, the hands, the knees, the feet, the hips, the shoulders. And then we move through the first wave, through each of those five rhythms. Then sometimes we'll stop for a while, we'll explore the space, because one of the things that Gabriel Roth, the founder of Five Rhythms, was really keen on was simply walking meditation, moving in the space, feeling what the floor feels like, noticing the other people, just moving. All of this first part of the class is all designed about bringing us into the body, out of the head, because we tend to have busy lives with lots of thinking, just really getting us into the body and getting the body warmed up. There might be a teaching point that goes into some of the more technical aspects of Five Rhythms for those people who've been for a while, but it's really accessible to anybody. You know, you can show up for your first class. It's not like there's anything that's going to be off topic for a new dancer. And then we go through the wave again. Usually we call it the main wave, which will be typically between an hour and an hour and a half, which will peak in the middle with a big release in chaos. And then usually there's a bit of fun. There'll be a bit of instruction to dancing partners, to dance in a group, or to dance on for dancers to dance on their own. And it sort of comes down, finishing the final rhythm, which is stillness, which is quite meditative. Usually people have really arrived in their bodies by then. You think a little bit like Shavasana in yoga. It's like the time you as a dancer have really earned that chance to really appreciate the physicality and feeling of your own body and the physicality of being in the space with a group of people. And then we have a little bit of a, usually there's a bit of a conversation, a check-in with everybody at the end, a group check-in. And community is a really important aspect of Five Rhythms as well. What you tend to find is that sometimes people get to know each other off the dance floor and get involved in other spiritual practices as well around Five Rhythms. You know, there tends to be yoga or singing or other things going on for people who want that. Not necessary, but it's part of it. So checking in with other dancers, grounding, and then goodbye. That's pretty much it. Yeah. Until next week.
Great stuff. Okay, well, just last two questions here, Mark. So what's your understanding of the middle way, and how might that relate to Five Rhythms?
Yeah, so I think my interpretation of the middle way is not to get too dogmatic, and I think for me, Five Rhythms has got maps, but there's a lot of freedom within those maps. Like I said earlier, you know, what flow looks like for me will look very different to what flow looks like for you. But in principle, the idea of continual movement through life, shifting around obstacles, either on the dance floor or in normal life, is a really good thing to practice and to take home. So for me, it's not dogmatic, very much not dogmatic, but there is the support of there is a lot of information. There's a lot of structure to support the movement and to support the self-discovery that dancers can go through.
Great. Okay. And if people wanted to find out more about Five Rhythms and also about your own teaching, how would they go about it, Mark?
Yeah, so I would say Gabriel Roth has written a few books. So if you look at Gabriel Roth on your favourite bookshop, you'll find some really good entry points. Some of the books are a few years old, but they're not out of date. What she describes in the books is as relevant now as it was then. In terms of practice itself, because in the end it is a practice. You know, you can't really read just about five rhythms. It's something that you have to experience in your own body. You can, if you look at the fiverhythms.com, so 5RHYTHMS.com website, you'll find within there, there's a link to local teachers who are registered with the Five Rhythms organization. So my classes in, I've got classes at the moment in Manchester and Lancaster. So you'll find my class on there, or you'll find me on Facebook. If you look for Mark Austin Five Rhythms, you can find me there. But I'd say those are the good places to start. Yeah, and just try a local class. There's teachers in pretty much every part of the UK, and actually for the rest of the world as well. Most of Europe's got some good coverage of Five Rhythms teachers.
Great. Okay. Well, I really appreciate what you're doing, Mark. I mean, I personally feel that I've really found something. I mean, Five Rhythms been on my radar for a few years, but I was only recently actually made the effort to go along to your class, and I have to say I'm hooked. So and I think you've given a really good overview, good snapshot of what Five Rhythms is about. So hopefully some listeners out there might come along. So anyways, thank you very much for talking to me today. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Barry. Look forward to seeing you on the dance floor in Lancaster soon.
Brilliant.
You can find out more about Middleway Philosophy at www.middlewaysociety.org.